99.7 FM, radio for the discerning listener. Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterville. Revelation. Inspiration. Interpretation. Illumination. Application. Get a deeper understanding of God's Word with God Has Spoken, a landmark teaching by Dr. Mensah Otterville on how to relate to the Scriptures.
When you're studying the Scripture, the most important and the most authoritative basis for interpretation is the life and words of Jesus Christ. We are Christians, not Davidians. We are not Jeremiahites. We are not Paulites. We are not Abrahamites. We are not Mosesites. We are Christians. We are named after Jesus.
Get your copies of God Has Spoken by Dr. Mensah Otterville, available in 5-pack audio series. Contact Altar Bookshop Christ Temple now, 233-302-688-000, or email altarbookshop@centralgospel.com. And now, today's word.
When the human writers were writing the Bible, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, also tells us something about how the Bible came to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, I've quoted it quite a few times this year. Hebrews 1, 1 to 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the words. I want you to note two things here. First is various times, various times. God spoke to us in various times. That means periods of history and culture. Periods of history and culture. The Bible was written over a 1,600-year period. It wasn't as if one person sat down and wrote the book, or one person received a revelation at one time and wrote everything. But it was given progressively over 1,600 years. Now, 1,600 years is massive. There's a huge change. There's a huge change because, I mean, even those of us who have lived for just 60 years, 70 years, can say that words have changed meaning since we were alive. You know, when I was young, when they said that something is hot, it's hot. It means that it has heat. But these days when they say something is hot, it means it's popular. It's great, it's nice, it's beautiful. Now, so if I was inspired, and at that time I was inspired, the word for I use is hot, and I say God is hot. Now, 40 years ago, God is hot means that he'll burn you. Now, somebody is writing God is hot in 2015. It doesn't mean he'll burn you. It means God is cool. Because in our time, hot means cool. God is nice. You can chill with him. So then, if I was inspired to write God is hot. In, let's say, 1960-something. And Pastor Sel Bonso is inspired to write God is hot in 2015. They both said God is hot, but they wrote in different times. Are you following me? So if you don't know the times in which the writer wrote the words he wrote, you can't get the meaning of what he's saying. So the Bible says God spoke in various times, over 1,000, and I'm just talking about a 40-year age gap. Can we multiply that by 1,600? So over time, words change their meaning, but it's being spoken. So God spoke in various times. To understand what he says, you have to understand the time in which he inspired a particular writer to write what he wrote. Because if you don't, you would interpret it in the 21st century mindset and you miss it totally. Because the revelation didn't come yesterday. It came at a certain time. Are you following me? So it says, God, who at various times, various epochs, cultures. And then he says, not only in various times, but in various ways. The word of God, the revelation of God came in various times, and it came in various ways. That means forms of language and expression. Part of God's word is written as a historical narrative. Part of it is written as poetry and music, and some as legislation, some as tragedy, some as wisdom literature, some as a prophetic word, some as oratory, some as letters, in various ways. So when you're reading poetry, it is very different from reading a historical narrative. So when you're reading poetry, there's a liberty with words. So you read words like the mountains clap in the Psalms. The mountains clap their hands. Now, the Psalms are poetry. So when it says the mountain clap their hands, it doesn't mean that you are watching the mountain is clapping. Now, the mountains don't clap physically. It is a poetic language. But when it's a historical statement and it says the mountains clap, then it means the mountain actually clapped. But when it's poetry and it says the mountain clap, it's a different thing. So God, who at in various times and in various ways, some of the word of God is poetry, some is drama, some is parable, some is analogy, some is metaphor. And if you don't understand all of these things, you're going to pick any word and throw it anywhere and say, this is what it means. It's in the Bible. But what form is it? What time was it inspired? Who wrote it? What was the context in which he was writing? What is the language form? Is it a metaphor? Is it an analogy? Is it a prophecy? Is it history? Is it law? And now you are saying, yay, then the Bible is difficult to understand. Oh, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Because when you read, you pick your newspaper, there are different things there. You go and read a cartoon. The way you interpret a cartoon is different from the way you interpret a news item, isn't it? Because the cartoon is fun. And then the way you interpret a report is even different from the way you interpret an editorial from the newspaper. The way you interpret an editorial is different from the way you interpret a feature article. They are all different things in the one newspaper. You don't use one interpretation for everything. Just because a newspaper has reported something does not mean that is what the newspaper is saying. Because if the newspaper wants to say it, it will say it in its editorial. But it reports anything. And just because somebody has written a feature article in the newspaper does not mean it represents the newspaper's position. So you have to understand all of these things to know what's going on in the Bible. God spoke in various times and in various ways. But the Bible says that all of these people that God used, they were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. So David, for example, would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Why? Because he was a shepherd. If David was a teacher, he would have said, "The Lord is my teacher." Because he is narrating God's word from where he is. And God is using his own experience to give us God's word. I hope you are following what I'm saying. All right. So how did these people receive the word of God? And we'll look at various biblical authors and how they received the words that they wrote from the Bible. Just a few of them, not all of them. Moses, how did Moses receive what he wrote? And Moses was very, very important to the Bible because the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. In terms of volume, Moses wrote more of the Bible than any other person. And much of what the Bible says later on is premised on what Moses received. So how did Moses receive what he wrote? He's the one who wrote Genesis and told us how things began when he was not born. How could Moses know all these things when he was not born? How did he get it? Well, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12 to 18, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.' So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, 'Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Ur are with you, and if any man has any difficulty, let him go to him.' Then Moses went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was a consuming fire on the top of the mountain, the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went up in the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So God calls Moses. He goes to the mountain, and Moses is with God for 40 days. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, when he came, his face was shining. Now, 40 days, it's not just to come tell him, thou shalt not, 10 commandments and 613 laws. No, you can do all of that in probably about 6 hours. So the rest of the days, what was God telling Moses? The Bible doesn't tell us. But I believe in all those 40 days, God was telling Moses, "This is how I started creating this. This is how I did it. This is how I did it. And this is how I've been working with mankind. I called Abraham and I did this and I did that." Now, Moses was not there when these things were happening, but God spent 40 days with Moses. And it is believed in those 40 days, God told Moses how he began everything. And so Moses came back and wrote Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light.'" There was no human being there. How did Moses know? He talked to the man himself. He was with the man for 40 days, and he told him how he did it. And Moses just came and wrote it. Now, Moses is not a scientist. Moses is just carrying the word of God. So Genesis is not a scientific account of how the earth was created or how life came into existence. Moses is writing it from his point with the words available to him at that time. And Moses is not writing in 2015. He's writing a long time ago. He can't use words we know now. He can only use words that are available there. And God picked those appropriate words and carried his revelation to us. So Moses had a 40-day stint with God. And in that time, God imparted his word to Moses. So he was carried, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there are other writers of the Bible. Samuel wrote quite a bit of the Bible. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and some believe the Judges. Samuel started hearing from God when he was a child. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Now the bold Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, before the lamp of God went out to the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So God called Samuel at a very young age. He heard God's voice, and throughout his life, God continued to speak to him. Out of that encounter, Samuel was inspired, and he wrote the words that he also wrote. Samuel started very young hearing from God. The other person who wrote a lot of the Bible is David. Wrote quite a bit of the Bible, most of the Psalms. David was a man of many parts. David was a shepherd boy. He was a military man. He was a king. But one of the things most of us remember about David is that he was a musician. Before he was all of these, he was a musician. Before he was a shepherd, he was a musician. Before he was a king, he was a musician. And David composed a lot of songs. When David was writing his songs, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And those songs, if you study a lot of them, has a lot of prophetic statements about the Messiah. Things that were going to happen in the future, he sang them as songs. Now, how do we know David was inspired? Well, Jesus Christ himself said that David's songs were inspired. In Mark chapter 10, 12, verse 35 to 36, this is what Jesus says about David. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" Jesus was referring to 2 Samuel 23, verse 2 to 3. Now Jesus is saying, when David spoke that and sang it, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand," and he was singing, and people were listening and said, "Oh, what a great song." David was not just composing a great song, the Holy Spirit was speaking through David. So when David is singing, he's not just singing. That's why he would sing and say that the Messiah at some point in his life would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And Jesus repeated those words. How could David know something that will happen thousands or hundreds of years ahead? Because the Holy Spirit was inspiring him and choosing his songs and his lyrics and the words. And he put the word of God into music. It's poetry. It's drama. It's music. But the Holy Spirit was carrying David. So the Holy Spirit carried Moses. The Holy Spirit carried Samuel. The Holy Spirit carried David.
Revelation, inspiration, interpretation, illumination, application. Get a deeper understanding of God's Word with God Has Spoken, a landmark teaching by Dr. Mensah Otabil on how to relate to the Scriptures.
When you're studying the Scripture, the most important and the most authoritative basis for interpretation is the life and words of Jesus Christ. We are Christians, not Davidians. We are not Jeremiahites. We are not Paulites. We are not Abrahamites. We are not Mosesites. We are Christians. We are named after Jesus.
Get your copies of God Has Spoken by Dr. Mensah Otabil, available in 5-pack audio series. Contact Altar Bookshop Christ Temple now, 233-302-688-000, or email altarbookshop@centralgospel.com.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.